Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Doctors Roundtable, a forum for conversations with Atlanta's leading doctors and thought leaders about cutting-edge trends and topics in health, wellness, and lifestyle issues. Here's our host, Tanya Mack.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I'm really excited about our topic today. We're going to be discussing the importance and future of IT use in today's medical practice, something that I think almost every practicing provider out there is having to deal with. I have three guests today. Some are my friends, so I'm always happy to see them here in the studio. We have Dr. Darvin Hagee, is a board-certified psychiatrist here in Atlanta, trained at Emory and in the community practicing. We also have Blue Wave Computing here today. We have Deborah Frazier, who's the healthcare subject matter expert over at Blue Wave, and Sean Vitasco, who is the Executive Vice President of Operations. And Blue Wave is certainly one of the leaders in the community. They have been named, I think, by the AJC and some others as one of the best IT companies in Atlanta for almost 3 or 4 years now. And we were recently named on a list of 25 in the top 25 of global IT companies by PR Web. So certainly they are experts in the field of healthcare IT as well. So the reason I picked the topic today was it used to be when we talked about technology use in medical practice, most people first thought of technology equipment that we would use with patients. And I think we still think of that, but more and more we're thinking about how we use IT and tools to communicate with patients, securely store medical records, communicate with other people. And there's a whole area of promise in that and a whole area of responsibilities with that that go along with that too. So we'll be touching on future trends and resources and what's coming up and what are we working with today. So I'd like to start off with you, Sean, and just talk about why IT has become so critical to today's medical practice.
Well, Tanya, you know, 20 years ago, people were still using racks of files and lots of paper. And as we continue to evolve in the information technology age, that information has become electronic and therefore electronic, you know, means of communications, including, you know, email, the web, file storage, databases, EMR systems, so on and so forth, really requires a more focused attention to IT rather than the old manual efforts.
Right. And let's tell us a little bit about, I don't think most doctors go into practice thinking they're going to be IT experts. So do most medical practices have their own IT department, or do they find additional resources? What's been your experience?
You know, most of them don't. They're really focused on delivering quality in healthcare. And if they do have any sense of IT, it's either they've purchased a PC or a laptop as they started off, and that technology evolved into something else, then they required some support. And often what we see is that medical practices who don't have the knowledge to hire the right and qualified people go out and hire some guy off the street just because he seems like a great computer guy, but he doesn't have the relevant knowledge of how to apply IT in the medical community.
Right. So, and I know that it's changing. I know even as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, I think, you know, finance industry really jumps on IT because they're regulatory nature. And you'd think healthcare would be the same, but it really hasn't quite panned out that way. I think healthcare's been a little more slow to adopt electronic medical records, a digital web presence, the use of social media. Can you speak a little bit about what you're seeing old and what you're seeing kind of now?
Yeah, that's very true. You know, mostly what we're seeing is that, you know, while healthcare practices are focused on delivering healthcare, still using that old legacy systems is what we see most often. And, of course, from a regulatory perspective and frankly, a consumer perspective, consumers are demanding, well, I want to be able to see my medical records. I want you to communicate with me electronically. And this has forced the medical community to start to think about
it.
Yeah,
because they have to retain their practices or to acquire new patients that want their portals and
that's exactly right.
Just dial on and make my appointment at my convenience, not yours, thank you, and all those things. They're having to be competitive then.
That's exactly right.
Very good. What, anything else you're seeing in terms of adoption?
Well, you know, you're right. The adoption has been slow, but it's becoming more and more important with the government regulations in electronic communications and privacy acts. And that's meaning that we need more secure networks, more secure means of communicating, and more secure ways to store that data.
Mm-hmm. When you guys take over a new client or you assume network responsibility or support, are you finding that you are able to use a lot of legacy things? Are you finding that you have to change out a lot of things? What do you see?
Well, that's
what you inherit.
That's really where it gets down to the money involved, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, it's just not cheap to adopt new technologies. So sometimes we do have to deal with the older stuff and then provide that consultative approach to here's really what you should be doing. And that's where I really feel proud of Blue Wave taking a more leadership position there in helping the medical community understand what should they be doing with the technology and how do they become compliant.
Mm-hmm. So meaningful use has been a big buzzword. We've been here now for 2 or 3 years as the government's kind of hanging out some high-dollar carrots out there for physicians to convert their paper records to electronic format. What's your opinion on how far you think we are? Do you think that in general, in our community here in Atlanta, we're halfway there, a third of the way there, mostly there?
I don't think it's quite that far. I think
we've
really only touched the surface. And if you think about, you know, the single-person practice all the way up to the larger facilities, certainly the larger facilities have the financial means to adopt new technologies and new ways to do business. And the smaller organizations, they're focused on delivering healthcare, not necessarily worried about their IT.
Yeah. The day will come no matter what, though. Eventually we'll all be communicating that way, so we'll have to jump on the bandwagon. We've talked about it being heavily regulated because we are dealing with people's medical records. And Deborah, I'd like to jump over to you a little bit and just talk about the whole notion of HIPAA compliance and what that means to a medical practice. And I think there's some new legislation out that may affect practices. So,
Yes, there is. On January 25th, they announced the new HIPAA omnibus bill. HIPAA in the past has not been taken very seriously, mostly because it hasn't been enforced. So a lot of people did HIPAA back in 2005, and then they found that over time, nothing really came of it. And in 2009, the High Tech Act hit. And what most doctors don't understand is that they've tied all of this in their minds with the Affordable Care Act, or what some people call Obamacare, mm-hmm. and it's really completely different bills. High tech and HIPAA are completely separate. And recently with the omnibus bill, they tied the two together. So what the High Tech Act did was is it made the business associates more responsible for the becoming HIPAA compliant themselves. And it also increased the enforcement. So starting last year, they put a program together. They paid $9.3 million to KPMG in order to be able to do 150 audits across the nation. So they put their program together, and this year is the year of regulation. So they're really moving forward with that. On January 25th, they announced the omnibus bill, and they have tied those two pieces of legislature together. And so now they've even stretched it a little bit further. So other than adding even more rules on top of everything, they've increased the penalties. They have also not only made business associates responsible, but also their subcontractors. So if you look,
so the reach is extending. Yes,
exactly.
And tightening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at an EMR company as an example. If an EMR company is not HIPAA compliant and they are hosting through another third party, then what happens is that if there's a breach of some sort or the person gets audited, which a lot of people are getting audited right now because they applied for meaningful use and they claimed on Core Objective 15 that they did do the HIPAA risk assessment. And so now they're finding out that they are actually being held liable for that. So then they come in and they find out, well, they never did the privacy and security policies and procedures. They never did a full risk assessment. And so now they're going to look at their business associates. Once they look at that business associate and they find out that that business associate has not become HIPAA compliant as well, and that they're even using a third party that is not HIPAA compliant, well, then that makes all of their clients out of compliance as well. So they found that weak spot.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point that I think meaningful use has brought up some dollar signs to the doctors, and especially these smaller practices that think this is a way that I can at least afford it and get my foot wet. Mm-hmm. And so the attraction of getting the funding is attractive. Mm-hmm. But on the downside, they lose that little, and we can audit you fine print. And I think they are kind of starting to get unpleasantly surprised. So making sure. I know attestation was your one, so you basically just had to sign your name and you were good. But even that came with potential audits that now are coming due for some. So paying attention up front to the HIPAA requirements are certainly a key piece of the compliance pie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. I'd like to talk a little bit more. We touched about security in regards to the HIPAA and the privacy issue, but I'd also like to talk with you, Sean, and Deborah, too, about cloud computing. As I talk with a lot of physicians, I think there is this feeling of, if I had my own servers, then I have control of that. And they're not in the business of being IT companies, so the cloud sounds attractive in terms of storage capacity and the maintenance of it, but I think the big issue is the security of it. Can one of you guys speak to that?
Yeah, sure. You know, I equate questions around cloud security just like asking a question, you know, is it safe to have surgery? And, you know, quite frankly, the answer is it depends. And it boils down to the amount of risk. And so there's many, you know, quote-unquote cloud providers out there and very well-known organizations who are very reputable in the IT community that say they offer cloud. However, without the knowledge of, well, what does the security piece of the cloud mean? Where are my servers? And have you passed audits? That doesn't necessarily exist out in the general IT community. Therefore, when you look at companies like Blue Waves who understand the regulations and understand that, you know, we go through audits ourselves on a pretty regular basis to make sure that we are compliant and secure, I would say the Blue Wave cloud is secure. I can't speak for the entire IT community.
So for people that are non-Blue Wave users, what would be some tips that you would direct them as far as how could they assess how secure they were? Well, what questions could they ask, or what could be addressed with their current providers to have them make some determinations?
Sure. Well, the first thing to look for would be certifications specifically around PCI compliance, SOC audits, as well as any HIPAA regulations that are there. And, you know, besides just having the badge on the website, also making sure that they go under some type of third-party audit on a pretty regular basis.
An external audit.
That's right.
Okay. And Blue Wave does external.
Absolutely.
External audit. Deborah, did you want to weigh in on that?
Sure. I think one of the key things to ask for is the privacy and security policies and procedures. There shouldn't be any reason why somebody would not be willing to share that information. So that would be the first step. The second step is actually digging into the rules a little bit, asking questions about their workforce clearance, different things like that, because a lot of people that claim that they are HIPAA compliant, and there's a lot of cloud services out there that do this, they have actually not gone through the HIPAA rules, and they need to have a documented process where they can show, if an auditor comes in, that they have addressed each and every rule. So if you get very specific and say, what are your hiring processes, what does the user have to do before they're given access, how do you protect the password, so on and so forth. When you ask specific key things like that and then mix it up, then at that point, you're going to be able to find out that if they are not actually HIPAA compliant, because 99% of them will tell you that they are.
Mm-hmm. But you have to get proof in the pudding. So look at the documentation is a big key. Yeah, take a look.
One example is a data center that I went to that was actually a warehouse. And these people sold a HIPAA program. When I arrived there, there was nobody in the building. The room had a glass door with keys in it. This was the server room, and they had a generator outside, but it wasn't hooked up. That was for emergency use, where they would plug it in at a later time.
Right.
So that, you know, you really have to go out, take a look at the facilities as well.
Mm-hmm. So know who you're working with, and hands-on inspection is a good idea.
Exactly.
Very good advice. So we're going to hear from you, Dr. Hagee. You're hearing some of this and thinking, oh, my God, how do I keep up and cope and all those things? But I understand you've been very proactive in taking steps to become both HIPAA compliant and work with healthcare IT in your practice. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and seeing?
Well, I got most baptized when I started and built my own first website about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a real boon to my practice and to my learning a whole lot of IT. I say I spend about 2 hours a day learning IT to save 1 hour a day.
Wow.
But I'm starting to get a return on my investments, particularly like speech recognition. About 5 years ago, I started with that, and it took me hundreds of hours till I mastered Dragon to the point now where it's almost fun.
So have you integrated electronic medical records into your practice? And that's why you're using Dragon for your notes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a process. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm using my Praxis electronic medical record for my prescription writing primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been very helpful. I see 30-plus patients a day, mm-hmm. and each one of those patients, if I had to handwrite the prescription, especially patients that have, like, sometimes 6 or 8 medicines that they're on at the same time, or if I have a patient who has a controlled substance that I have to write 3 months prescriptions, mm-hmm. it can save me 1 to 5 minutes per patient.
Mm-hmm.
So I estimate it's probably saving me 1 hour a day.
So I think you look at it a very good way. And when I've worked with physicians in the market making these transitions too, I do encourage them to look at, I tell them there's going to be pain for a little bit. There is going to be pain when you learn a new program, when you make a transition, when you convert from one system to another, or you move from paper to electronic. But it does pay off if you persist and you learn it. So you're an example of somebody that's taken the time and has made it work for them.
Oh, it's not a little pain. It's a lot of pain. At times, I said, with the Dragon, naturally speaking, it took a while to get past the cursing part.
Unfortunately, you learned how you did that as well, huh?
Yes.
Very good. Now, it sounds like you're also trying to improve your digital presence. So you're working with your web as a patient recruitment tool, and do you communicate with your patients through a portal?
No, I don't. Okay. I try to avoid that because I know that regular email, that which we have now, is not
encrypted.
Safe
yeah, it's
for
not
that.
Encrypted.
But we're currently working with Blue Wave to migrate our server for all of our internal email in-house into our current server that we have for our EMR.
Mm-hmm.
So the highest IT I do with patients now is I do alternate telephone sessions with patients that are very stable. So I see them once, 3 months later, they may have a phone session if they're stable. 3 months later, they come back to see me. But
sounds like your next step might be telemedicine.
Well, you're right on target. And I'm working right now with Blue Wave, and they have just completed their discovery and implementing a telemedicine software, hardware package that will be one of their first adopters.
Yeah, you're in a great field. In fact, I have some friends who, a lot of behavioral health is beginning to be done in rural areas by telemedicine. So, and certainly even urban practices. I think there was originally a misconception telemedicine is only to connect distance. But when you live in a city where 7 miles can take you an hour sometimes in rush hour traffic, I think a lot more people are looking at telemedicine as a convenience and an urban tool as well. So I think you're on the forefront of something really good there.
I have as many of my local patients clamoring for me to get the video up and going as ones that are in outlying areas.
See, you're further along than you think. Yeah, you're really forward thinking. That's excellent. I want to talk a little bit more about security issues. We've kind of touched around it, but I'd like to go back and talk a little bit more about it directly, and I'm going to point back to you, Sean. It's hard to believe that people would just like to go hack into somebody's medical record. I know that happens, though. But let's talk about the importance of security, how you safeguard it. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, first off, you need to start with why would somebody want a medical record, for goodness sake? Well, you know, typically those include some other personal data outside of, you know.
White-collar crime.
Yeah,
it's got your social number and all kinds of things in there.
It's not just that people are nosy, right? It's because it's got a Social Security number in there, perhaps payment methods could be in the patient's chart, those type of things. And, you know, we hear on the news very often about you know, credit card companies who have lost data or who have been hacked, and or you know, people replicating cards and being used without authorization, those type of things. So that's really the root of why you need to protect the data. Really gets down to people wanting to do things from a financial perspective with the data that they can find. That turns into things like is there antivirus? Are the firewalls set up the right way? And this gets us into some of the work that Blue Wave does around vulnerability and penetration testing. So, you know, we look at it, kind of as if we are the IT police. And we know there's bad guys out there who want to get access to the data. And so we look at ways to make sure that that's secure.
Do you have a formal security assessment, like Deborah was mentioning on the HIPAA side?
We do, and we equate that to, if you're looking to put an alarm system in your house, the alarm company is probably going to come out and do some type of a penetration test or a vulnerability assessment. They will come out and say, "Well, are your locks secure? Are your doors locked?" So on and so forth. And then what they'll also do is they'll actually say, "Well, what would happen if I break a window?" And we do the same thing from an IT perspective. We go in. We look at it, we assess it, we look for vulnerabilities, and then we actually, as the good guys, try to get past any barrier. And if we can get past a barrier, so can a bad guy. And once we know where those holes are in security, we can very quickly move to take the right action to close that hole.
Do you find a common area of vulnerability? Like, is there one area that you see over and over that people just aren't paying attention to?
Well, most often what we see is in the antivirus and malware space where somebody has, come in, from home with a thumb drive and plugged it into a practice PC that had a virus on it. And then that virus, spans across the network and it opens up other security vulnerabilities within the customer's network.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the trends I'm seeing in offices is I think when we first started doing installs of EMR, a lot was hardwired, and we quickly, for flexibility, moved to mobile and wireless. And so what about security with wireless systems?
That's even another interesting area. They can be complicated to set up from a security perspective, even though the technology is getting better. It's not like running out to Best Buy and going and grabbing a home wireless device.
Access point testing, best of my knowledge, that goes on.
Yeah, that's right. And so we look at some centralized solutions that we can actually put into our secure cloud to be able to lock down wireless access. In fact, I was speaking with an EMR company yesterday who's asking us to have a look at a total turnkey solution where we can provide them with that wireless access for them to take to their clients that isn't even touching an IT environment that we may not be responsible for.
Are you seeing more clients going to wireless also?
Yeah, we are, especially as tablet devices become more prevalent in the environment, especially in operating room situations where the schedule needs to come in for an anesthesiologist and the doctor and so on and so forth, and they need to track those medical records on these more portable and mobile devices.
What about another trend that I'm seeing is consolidation of medical practices where you're merging systems together and you have that kind of a transition going on, and or interconnectivity between the hospitals and the medical practices? Are those kind of, every time you connect, there's a new security possibility?
Well, there certainly is. And what we find is when there is that type of a merger acquisition scenario or an organization as part of a larger practice, typically the larger organizations do have IT departments. And what that means is that Now, Blue Wave may have to interface with multiple points along the line with other IT organizations who may or may not be aware of security and possibility of breach.
Okay. Deborah, did you want to weigh in on the security?
Yeah, some of the largest breaches actually have to do with devices not being encrypted. So as an example, laptops are a huge vulnerability. And then also the if somebody is backing up their systems on site, whether it be tapes or a hard drive, we've seen several instances where somebody will throw it in the back of their truck or, you know, in their trunk and end up getting it stolen.
They're probably thinking I'm doing a good thing for fire prevention when in reality they're just risking a lot of people's data.
That's exactly it. Okay. So those are some of the largest breaches that have taken place on the HHS breach list.
Mm-hmm. Well, something to be cognizant of for sure. When we talk about healthcare IT in the medical practice, you can't kind of escape the discussion without talking a little bit about cost. So in general, the longer you go with technology, some of the costs come down. I'm interested just in hearing on how you make things affordable. Is cost a barrier? How you guys address that? Because I would think that when you come in and you inherit as the IT support company, that's one of the things you hear first and foremost.
That's true. So, you know, one of the ways we look at it is there can be some, you know, considerable upfront cost in adopting new technologies and of course, the labor associated with, you know, the smart guys coming in and taking care of IT. What we typically see is once we've gotten in there, might be a little bit of a pain for 30 or 60 days from the amount of work that needs to be done. But, you know, after a 60-day period, what we see is that infrastructure start to stabilize, the issues in the infrastructure go down, and therefore so does the cost.
Mm-hmm. I would think the uptime required for medical industry and the reliability requirements would really make people pause twice in terms of the investment that they're making to make sure they're getting what they need.
That's very true. You know, I did an article on mobile device management a few weeks back, and one of the things that I said in that article was that, again, as mobile devices become more prevalent in many of these practices, we need to take a look at things not just from a, you know, we're the IT guy perspective, but how does technology really affect the customer's business? You know, what does it mean to a patient that if an anesthesiologist can't connect wirelessly to a device to get their schedule, and what are the drugs that are supposed to be administered? Well, that means the surgeon can't take care of their piece of the business, and if the surgeon can't take care of their piece of the business, you could end up with a dead patient. And so we try to drive
pretty
that
severe.
into our guys. You know, don't just be the IT guy. Really understand the customer's business and what the impact is you could have on somebody's life.
Yeah, and we're now headed into health information exchanges, so it's not just what's in your own system, but it's the reliability and uptime and security of all of the systems together that will now have to be considered as we move forward.
That's right. You have to take a look at the whole ecosystem.
That's right, yeah. That's a lot of work. Well, you guys ought to be in good stead for a long time as we move through this technology revolution. I'd like to go back to Dr. Hagee. You're the one paying the bills here. So as far as making investments in healthcare IT, what are some of your thoughts on what's worth it? Has it been paying off for you? Kind of how do you view it from your side of the table?
It's been well worth it because I planned, I had goals of what I wanted it to do for my patients, for me, for the practice, for revenue. And the sum has been nice.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a good point. I think a lot of times practices don't realize that it's an evolutionary process and you actually need a roadmap. They see all between the network itself, the devices they use, the electronic medical record, the website, it can kind of feel really overwhelming. So I think you've probably been really smart in taking a step-by-step approach and having, I think that's really good advice. Have clear-cut goals when you start and realize it doesn't all get done in a day. I think you said that, Sean. It's kind of a path that you go on, an evolutionary path that has some upfront time and investment, but as you go along, the easier it gets once you get used to getting in at it. Yeah, is that a fair statement?
Very fair.
Very good. All right. Well, I'd like to talk just a few minutes about what's coming up. This is an industry, I don't even know how you guys keep up. The technology changes so fast that what you're compliant with today and what, from the physician point, you even have as a tool today. You just go to any trade show or HIMSS or anything that's going on and look at miles and miles of vendor booths and think, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Everything from remote monitoring to smartphone use in medical care. Let's talk, Sean. Let's start with you. What do you see as some of the big things you're going to be dealing with?
You know, I think it's really quite interesting, and I don't think too many people would ever relate the passion in IT to the passion in healthcare, and I find them to be very compatible. You know, people who choose careers in IT are really, really passionate about what they do, and they do it because they think it's fun. These are, you know, people who built their first computer when they were 8 years old or were tearing apart their electronic devices to figure out, you know, how to use it. So there's a lot of passion in IT for what we do. You know, coming from a management perspective in IT, being able to, you know, guide that energy of people who are passionate about IT and focus that in on the needs of our customers really helps us stay close to the industry. And so from a future perspective, I think we're seeing a lot more EMR software products out there. We're seeing a lot of EMR organizations who they might be great software developers, but they really don't want to be the IT support organization to put all the pieces of the puzzle together for that entire ecosystem. And so more often than not, we're finding that software developers are coming to us asking us, how do we support our software? How can you support our software?
You'd think that'd be the other way around, wouldn't you?
You would think. And we're happy to do it. You know, they want to be software developers, and we want to be infrastructure organizations that make sure that the customer's infrastructure is secure.
Mm-hmm. How do you as a company keep up? I mean, we talked about telemedicine and the impact that will have in future years. I had a discussion this morning with a physician that was telling me about streaming from the ICU, the equipment that right to their smartphone. So through the ethers, he's, you know, sitting at a restaurant lunch looking at the EKG strip from the patient laying in the ICU bed. And how secure is that? And so the use of smartphones and devices and technology, what do you think about some of those advances?
Well, you know, just from a device perspective, you know, I mean, who doesn't have a smartphone mm-hmm. these days? In fact, I saw some statistics recently that by 2015, the number of smartphone devices will outweigh the total number of laptops and desktops, and that's across all vertical
My
markets.
My teenager says that today. If you can't get me on my cell phone, Mom, don't bother. Yeah. I think I agree with that.
That's right. And so, you know, recognizing industry trends in what's happening with devices, Blue Wave tries to stay ahead of that from now how does that device in a customer's environment impact their business. You know, we hear, you know, today a lot about bring your own device mm-hmm. to work and organizations who are wanting to allow personal devices to connect to a corporate network. So we certainly have to stay ahead of that of, well, how are we going to secure that? And I find that, you know, throughout, you know, many, many years in IT, the consumer market is typically what drives the adoption of IT mm-hmm. within the business market. Business tends to lag a little bit behind mm-hmm. The consumer market, which is not how it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Certainly has sped up adoption for sure when the consumers have it in their hand and they want to see it where they go and interact with it in the
That's
same
right.
way they are personally.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Deborah, in the area of the future and in your area of expertise, HIPAA compliance, we're going to see a lot more fines, you think, people with the audits starting mm-hmm. to come? And
oh, yes, it will definitely start this year. There's some other trends that I see going on, and one of the things that helps me personally and the company is that we're looking at the legislative changes that are taking place. So Blue Wave, that's how we differentiate ourselves, is we're keeping up to date on what's going on so that we can be the thought leaders in our industry. And so some of the things that I see coming down the loop are they're changing the payment models, the different types of stimulus money that's coming out, plus the ACOs, all of these different things are, you know, are driving
people to work together. And
exactly.
Consolidating systems and people and resources and money. Yeah, it's going to continue, I agree.
Exactly. And so in the past, what we've seen is, as Shauna mentioned, we've seen a lot of legacy systems. And the doctor that tries to continue to go down that same path and not dedicate any resources towards IT, then they're not going to be competitive in the future marketplace.
Is there some kind of recommended industry standard? Like, what's typical? If I want to have not the Cadillac of IT systems, but just in general a very secure functional system workhorse, for my medical practice budget, is there some kind of, like 10% should be dedicated to IT? What's that kind of rule of thumb? What should I expect?
Well, I don't know if you can put a financial number on it because, you know, the industry is so broad, both from an IT perspective as well as from a medical practice perspective. You know, what I can say is Dr. Hagee is absolutely right. If you don't start with a roadmap and know where you're going and know where you really want to leverage IT within the practice, then quite frankly, your IT provider will also be flying a little blind.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like to mention just while we're on cost and budgeting that I know in the past when I work with practice managers is a lot of times they think about, this is my maintenance, this is my IT payment, this is my EMR payment, this is what my costs are, and they totally neglect the cost of keeping up technology. So those laptops don't last for 5 years. They break, they die, lots of things happen. So just replacement costs as part of your budget process every year and how you retire or sunset software and hardware and servers and all of those things should be considered when they're taking a look at the expense of IT.
That's very true. One of the things that we see, you know, not just in the healthcare market but our other vertical markets as well, is, you know, organizations don't really want to have to spend money on IT.
Right.
They just don't. It's a cost of doing business. It's not considered something that generates profit. And so what we run into very often is very old legacy systems, could be, you know, more than 5 or 10 years old, that can't even run the new operating systems. And guess what? Organizations like Microsoft, they're in business to make money as well, and they will stop supporting and stop releasing updates to those systems, which means they become, you know, much more likely to be unsecure and vulnerable to data being stolen.
Very good. Well, time has flown. We are actually out of time. But before we leave our guests, I'd like to just kind of go around the table and see if there's any from your perspectives from the topic of the importance of and the future of healthcare IT and a medical practice, if there's any tips you have for the listeners or final thoughts. So why don't we start with you, Sean?
Well, I guess my easiest tip is if you're looking for an IT provider, again, make sure that you're looking for somebody who is qualified to understand your business, not just understand IT or be a guy running around in a truck with a screwdriver. Make sure you do your homework and select a provider that understands your business.
Okay, Deborah.
My suggestion would be don't wait until last second. Mm-hmm. 2015 is right around the corner, and it's time to start planning for that time frame when everybody is supposed to be connected together.
Right. And I'd like to take just a minute, Deborah. You have chaired for a long time the Health Solutions Resource Forum, which has been kind of a industry leaders, grassroots organization, a good resource in the community for health IT solutions. So do you just want to speak about that for a second?
Sure. So the Healthcare Solutions Resource Forum consists of both vendors as well as practices. And what we do is we look at the legislative changes that are taking place, and we gather groups together in order to be able to identify solutions for those different challenges. And then we offer free speaking engagements as well. So it's a way to keep the community informed of what's going on, how to prepare, and solutions.
Very timely topics and good connectivity in that group, I know for sure.
Yes.
And Dr. Hagee, any final thoughts you have on the use of healthcare IT in a medical practice?
Well, there's been an unplanned benefit for my practice in that being high-tech, nerdy, applying these tools to the practice of medicine has a halo effect. My patients say, I know you're up to date, Dr. Hagee. I mean, you're staying on top of this tech and you're doing that last-minute stuff. I know your medicine, you've got to be reading and staying up. You're not coasting into retirement off what you learned 20 years ago.
Very good. Kudos to you. And the last thing we'll do is let the guests know, or the consumers know out there, our listeners, how they can reach all of you. So, Deborah, do you want to let us know how to reach Blue Wave?
Sure. You can contact me at 678-387-5025, and I would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have.
Yeah, and your website?
It is bluewavecomputing.com.
Is it Blue Wave Computing hyphen? It's Blue Wave hyphen.
You can
either way works.
Ways,
okay,
yeah.
Very good. Sorry about that.
No,
and Dr. Hagee, how can the listeners reach you?
You can call my office at 770-458-0007 or contact us through our website, eveningpsychiatrist.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for all being here today. It's been a real pleasure to talk about a very timely topic for almost every physician I know. And thanks for dialing in, all of you listeners. Also, thanks to our sponsor, HealthGate.com. Please visit them at www.healthgate.com for healthcare savings. Appreciate it, and tune in next time.
The Doctor's Round. The Doctor's Roundtable has been a production brought to you by HealthGate and Business Radio X. HealthGate is a groundbreaking website where board-certified doctors and specialists offer savings on out-of-pocket healthcare costs. For more information about HealthGate, please visit www.healthgate.com or call 404-692-5377. We hope you tune in next week.